I'm Claire Fallon.
And I'm Emma Gray.
We are friends and reality dating show fans, and the only thing we love as much as love stories is lovingly snarking on them.
Whether you love love or love to hate it, listen to Love to See It, our podcast dissecting all the romance we see on screen.
From reality dating shows like The Bachelor and Love is Blind to classic rom-coms like You've Got Mail, we recap in obsessive detail and unpack all the weird messages they send us about love, sex, and dating.
Listen to Love to See It on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Talk on the Fan, presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays with NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game every Sunday on CBS and Paramount Plus all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. Brian Bacco of the Post-Gazette joining me, as he always does after the Tomlin news conference. What has transpired?
We're currently waiting for Brian to get back on.
Where'd he
to
go?
The video.
What's he doing?
He's like Tomlin. He's taking a little bit more time to jump back on and talk.
Except he doesn't have Pomp introduce him, does he? This much is undeniable. Cam Hayward has hijacked week one of the NFL season by dropping on his podcast, We'll See, when asked if he's going to play in the opener. One of the captains of the team won't confirm that he'll be there. It's getting a little late for this, wouldn't you say? I mean, if it's not solved by now, he never... Why'd he show up then? Why did he show up at all as far as ending the hold-in? Why not just keep that going? But he's practiced. I think he's going to play. I think he is. But he also is on the record as saying, I'm having a hard time justifying playing on this contract. He wants more money. He has a right to ask for more money, and you have a right to be ticked. If you're out there, I think that Cam has become, in many ways, him and TJ, the face of a defense that has literally done nothing except embarrass itself in playoff football. So fair or unfair, fans see this as a case of, wait a second, you're already the highest paid defense in football. They already made Cam the highest paid defender over 30 in terms of annual salary in the history of the league. They've made TJ Watt the highest paid defensive player for at least 10 seconds. They gave him more in annual pay than Myles Garrett. Jalen Ramsey's making a ton of money. Highsmith's on a nice deal. Well, what more? Why more? Why always more? Give me more, more, more. When are they going to do something defensively when it matters? When? Except embarrass themselves, and that's all they've done defensively. When's the last time the Steelers played a good defensive game in the playoffs? It was Kansas City when Limits was still in diapers. I mean, you were in high school, but you were still in diapers, right?
Yeah, I was a late bloomer, Brian.
He still had a banky, Brian. He still he brought a little mat to his... were you a freshman then?
Sophomore.
2016. They had nap time for Limits. He had a banky and they had a special changing station over at... where were you, Limits?
Over at Baldwin.
Over at Baldwin.
We're trying to get my three-year-old off the banky, but she really likes sleeping with her banky, but we have to tell her the banky fairy is coming soon, I think. We don't want another limit situation.
Oh, my God. That reminds me of the traumatic situation of taking my daughter off her binky. I'm trying to... It was something like that. Like the binky went somewhere and you... I guess fairy.
We did it with my son, who's almost six now. We actually put a box outside for the binky fairy to come and take it. We did that with the bottles, too. Those didn't get taken by the bottle fairy. Those got taken by the baby deer to drink milk out of at our house.
Well, so I'm wondering if Cam really believes this will happen or if this might as well be a case of the binky fairy here, Brian. This much is indisputable. His story, as much as we love Cam, has hijacked week one. He has. A captain of the team has hijacked week one by dropping a "we'll see," basically, if I'm actually going to play. What are your thoughts on that?
I think his contention there would be, my teammates all support me, so I'm not hijacking it. It's not a case of like Le'Veon Bell where there was infighting and bickering that way. And I believe him. I mean, Cam is – every player who leaves here, even veterans, talk about how great of a leader he is for the Steelers. Now, I know the on-field results haven't necessarily produced much, but I think it's the little things like hosting the cookouts at your house and, you know, pulling guys aside when they need it. I think he has all that on his ledger. So he does get that respect, and it's not something where teammates are taking shots at him behind closed doors, but it's more of them versus the man, the upstairs, the suits. And it's always easy to say, pay this guy, but it's a puzzle. The salary cap is a puzzle. And, you know, every dollar that one guy gets is less than another guy can get.
Well, yes. And I think he looks around and sees everybody from TJ all the way to Jaylen Warren is getting paid here. Now, Jaylen, you know, it's not going to break any records, but he did get $12 million guaranteed. And that's more than the Ravens gave Derrick Henry when he signed with them last year in free agency. I think that's a pretty decent chunk of change for a guy to say. I think Tomlin said that his progress has been very evident and he took a step last year. I think he took a step back last year. Tomlin said his progress has been very evident. I don't necessarily agree, Brian. I like Jaylen Warren. He's a nice back. I feel like I can find nice backs anywhere. I feel like he has a little bit of a fumbling issue. I'm not really sold on a $12 million guarantee for Jaylen Warren. How about you?
I mean, the market's gone up. I mean, Henry got that last year when he signed. And that was, remember, coming off the tail end of the Titans. There were still some questions about him. The Ravens went back to him and gave him, I think, $25 million guaranteed this offseason.
Well,
so,
yeah.
I mean, they're running, yeah. So
but he didn't
back
get as much as Najee either. Jaylen Warren, or he got more than Najee too, guaranteed.
Yeah, Najee didn't get a ton from the Chargers, and I look at it this way: I'm surprised. I would even say maybe stunned when I saw that yesterday. I just didn't think that was the plan. I figured the vision was Jaylen's a nice player. We'll use him a lot this year. Well, you know, he can set himself up to go get paid elsewhere if he plays well and thrives. But we've got Caleb Johnson in the pipeline, and then maybe we'll even use one of our 73 picks next year to take another running back to pair with him.
Yeah.
But when you actually look at it, I mean, he basically got like Tony Pollard money, Devin Singletary money. And I think that seems about right. Not quite Chuba Hubbard money, which I was pretty shocked when the Panthers paid that guy what they did. So yeah, I mean, I guess running backs, they're having a little bit of a moment, a little bit of a resurgence, but I think more than anything, this is a longer-term commitment than I expected them to make to Jaylen Warren, but it's not buku bucks, and it does send a good message, I guess, to the rest of the team if they respect him, the way that he works, and the way that he... I always felt like he was kind of walking on eggshells the last few years with the Najee Harris dynamic in that room. It was always like people were asking Najee about Jaylen, and he was so hesitant to say much praiseworthy about the guy who was pushing for more touches, and now he gets a fresh start as the number one. And of course, there's a rookie behind him on his heels, but he's got a little more financial security for sure.
Is he better than Najee?
You know, I think he's been more efficient than Najee. And that's what Najee would always say too. Yeah, how would you describe Jaylen? Oh, he's efficient, which really means he doesn't have to take the beating that I take. He gets to come in as the changeup. And yeah, occasionally he rips one off and it helps the yards per carry. Makes you look like a better player, you know, by a metric-based opinion of it. I'll be curious to see if he can keep that up with more touches. I think he's got more home run ability than Najee, which I think certainly helps. You know, I don't know that anybody on this
team. So
does
Harry Callis on our staff here, but go ahead.
Yeah, I hear you. And Caleb Johnson better have that as well, or else they are going to put themselves in a similar situation at running back. I guess I'll cop out and say I don't know that he's better than Najee, but I think the upside is higher because of that. And maybe we've already seen the best of Najee and they ran the wheels off of him. He had an odd interview. Yes, he finally spoke to reporters in L.A., the Chargers beat yesterday or the day before, did it with sunglasses on the entire time. I think someone actually asked him to take them off. And he was like, why don't you take your sunglasses off? He did it sort of in a joking way, but what a strange situation for him with the fireworks eye injury. And man, really puts a damper on what he's going to do now out west.
Man, that's going to be interesting with those two guys. He's again sort of in a timeshare. And so is, I mean, that's the other curious thing here. They just spent the 83rd pick in the draft on Caleb Johnson. So is Jalen the guy moving forward? Then why did they draft Caleb? I understand you want to have a timeshare, but do you need to draft somebody? You draft somebody 83rd in the draft. To me, he's got to be your future starter. But yeah. Tomlin said flat out, he's our future guy. That's what he said about Jalen.
Yeah, I mean, hey, you know, with the Steelers, as you know, Joe, you always follow their actions more than you follow their words. And the $12 million guaranteed is certainly nice for Jalen Warren right now and probably next year, too, if you even just break that up over a two-year deal. But, you know, if the fumbles creep up or he starts going through injuries, I mean, that position, too, is so fickle that I'm sure they'll have an out to some extent, and then it could be the Caleb Johnson show. But, yeah, I mean, it's a vote of confidence for him, and it flies in the face of, I think, the narrative of, oh, and especially it popped up after that Panthers preseason game where he put the ball on the ground, the narrative of, oh, Caleb Johnson's going to take this job by midseason, if not earlier. Well, I'm not so sure about that now. If anything, it seems like all the resting that Jalen Warren got to do in camp in the preseason actually meant that, no, the Steelers are higher on him than we thought from the outside.
Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. And the fan hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Well, before I ask my next question, was there anything else you wanted to get to, Brian, specific to Tomlin's news conference?
Yeah, I mean, I think, again, and this is natural because it's going into week one and he didn't play in the preseason, but the questions about Aaron Rodgers and how do you know that he's going to start fast? I mean, you know Tomlin's never really going to show any vulnerability in that setting, but I do still think it's a fair question to be asked. I haven't dived into the context of all of these games and numbers, but I'll just give you the point totals from Aaron Rodgers' offenses in week one. Since 2019, which is when Matt LaFleur came to Green Bay and he really stopped playing in the preseason, 10 points the first year. Then they lit up somebody, I think the Vikings, for 43 points in 2020 when no one had a preseason. 3 points, 7 points, Achilles tear, and 19 points last year in week one with the Jets. So it hasn't exactly been smooth sailing for him in the season opener. Now they have to go to a Jets team that he's going to be figuring some things out, but still has a lot of talent on defense.
Yeah, you're right about that. I looked that up in the last in his last four season openers, including the one where he tore his Achilles. He has one touchdown and four picks, so you're exactly right about that. Now, what about Derek Harmon? He's out, Tomlin said. He made Herbig questionable, but is leaving the door ajar. What does the defensive line rotation look like? Benton had some injury issues in camp. We know Cam's situation. It's hard to believe he's just ready to play 90% of the snaps or something, especially if it's a boiling hot day. Can you check the weather in the Meadowlands? Is that where we're looking? Is that where they play, Brian?
Yeah.
Check the weather in the Meadowlands for Sunday limits, if you would. And then you have Harmon out. So what does that rotation look like? A whole bunch of Loudermilk here? Y.A. Till is going to be in the game?
Well, a whole bunch of Loudermilk. Daniel Ekwale, probably going to be at that, you know, nose tackle spot some too. Yeah, Y.A. Black, thank goodness he came on like gangbusters in the last preseason game and switched his number from 78 to 94. So he's in that club of rookies who switched from the preseason to the regular season. Did you know, speaking of Cam Hayward, he was 95, I think, his rookie training camp in preseason.
That would have been a great trivia question. And how about this? The Hurley.
I blew it.
The Hurley boy wonder is going to Mr. Big Chest number. Max Hurley.
Oh, God.
He's going to 84.
Business is booming for Max Hurley.
That is incredible.
But to go back to the D-line, I mean, yeah, I think that's probably why, you know, a guy like Asazi Odomewo ended up on the 53-man roster. I mean, he might only be here for a week, but they're going to, I guess, need some depth.
Who's that again, Brian? Can you name that last guy?
With Asazi Odomewo?
Man, it's a big day, maybe for some edge rushers like Ade and Eko, man, who just got here.
All right.
Eko, still on the team, on the practice squad.
I know.
He didn't even attempt Asazi, though, big O.
Please proceed. So. I'm sorry I offered you.
No, I mean, I guess if we're thinking off the top of my head, you know, the inactives, if you have five, you know, obviously one will be the QB, one will be Derek Harmon for sure. One, maybe even two O linemen, and then you know, it comes down to special teams play for the rest. So yeah, they might have to have all those D linemen active. And yeah, someone like Asaisi, who I didn't think had any chance of making the team, might actually have to log a snap here and there. And at least he's a big body to do so. And, you know, they'll figure out the roster puzzle as they go. He might be a short timer, but yeah, that D line is, to your point, I think it's a concern against the Jets team that he started with the run game. They've got Breece Hall. They've got big Braylon Allen. They've got Justin Fields, who, you know, he's also kind of an unknown commodity and what they're going to be doing with him offensively. So I think that's got to be the key for the Jets, right? If you're looking at this from their perspective, shorten this game, limit the possessions for Aaron Rodgers and DK Metcalf and company, and just try to grind one out. You be the team that beats the Steelers 18-10 this year instead of them beating the Falcons 18-10 last year on 6 Chris Boswell field goals. I guess he's not missing any games either.
And a hell of a punt, if I recall, from the shadow of his own goal line, right, for Boz last year. And it was one of the greatest regular season games for any kicker in history.
Yeah, absolutely, because that was the Cam Johnston massive injury, you know, down at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Oh, what an ugly game that was. I guess I hope we're not in for more of that Sunday, but we probably will be based on the histories that we just laid out and, you know, the NFL in week one in general.
What's the over under on this game? 38.5, I think I saw. Is that it?
That sounds about right.
Do you have the weather for Sunday limits?
71 degrees and cloudy in the Meadowlands.
Beautiful day for football. Brian, you going to be
there?
I've
never been. Yeah, I've never been. I've been. Oddly enough, here's another trivia question about the Batconian mongoose, if I may speak in third person. I've covered a football game.
Darius Slay spoke in third person just yesterday and said, I don't have an ego anymore. And then he referred to himself in the third person, which I thought was a great.
Slay makes plays.
Yeah, Slay makes plays.
Yeah, I guess that is kind of a stereotype, I guess, of a big ego is referring to yourself in the third person. So bad on me for that. I've covered a football game in New York City, but it was at Yankee Stadium. It was not at, I guess Meadowlands isn't New York City either. I've covered a football game in the New York, New Jersey area, but it was Pitt Northwestern Pinstripe Bowl at Yankee Stadium. So this will be my first football game there at a football stadium.
Who won that one? Who won that fray, Brian? You remember?
Northwestern. Every Pitt player got injured. Nathan Peterman, James Conner.
I remember that.
One of their O linemen went down. Ben DiNucci came in, I think, at quarterback. I think Ben Skoranek might have been on that Northwestern team. I just remember the wind was whipping. It was extremely cold, open air press box, hoping for better on a lot of fronts this Sunday.
I believe I've covered 2 games in, if it's still the same stadium there in the Meadowlands, and both were huge quarterback stories. The first was Ben versus Eli at the end of their rookie year, and it was an unbelievable shootout between those two. It was a great game that Ben won in the end. And the second one was just a few years back when it was Duck Hodges, I think, started the game. Then Mason Rudolph came in, got injured, and then Duck finished it. And he had that guy in the stands with the Duck jersey and the Mason jersey, and he kept switching jerseys. You remember that?
I didn't know that. I was just talking about that game with our mutual pal, Sean Gentile, when I met up with him last week
what
for lunch.
Game.
And he was saying he was at that game, and I was not in attendance for that one. And yeah, I just remember Mason with the collarbone, clavicle injury, whatever that was. But man, that was at the end of that horrific stretch for them to end the 2019 season. I couldn't tell you the first thing about whether they won, lost, points scored. All I remember is Mason getting injured just when it seemed like he was getting back on his feet.
Thank you, Brian. You're a patriot. You're a philanthropist. You're a spiritual guru. And you're basically a role model to Limits and the rest of the young people in this business.
I would agree with that.
Thank you, guys. You're too kind. Appreciate it.
Talk to you next.
Mongoose out.
Mongoose out might be the best closing line we've ever heard, right?
Mongoose out.
What's going on in there, Limits? Suddenly you seem quiet and reserved. What's happening? What's happened to you?
No, I'm good.
All right. You have a Penn State hat on?
I do.
What's your...
It's also a hoodie.
And a hoodie.
Yes.
You might as well have worn the whole uniform with shoulder pads and a helmet.
I think I should have. Pony knocked me for wearing this. And then I said, Pony, you're wearing a Steeler hat and a Steeler shirt.
Drew Aller made some big-time throws the other day, didn't he?
He did. He looked good. Now, I mean, again, they played Nevada, but Drew did what he was supposed to do and what he needed to do. There were 2 drops, so his line could have looked even better. he was protected, and when he wasn't, he evaded the pocket, made some good throws on the run. The throw to Kyron Hudson in the corner of the end zone was really good. I was impressed.
Let's not go overboard limits. It was against Nevada.
I put that as context in there.
I know. Who else? Well, let's talk about that to finish the show. Let's do our little who impressed us and who didn't among future Steeler quarterbacks. I don't want to copy the morning show. I don't want to do power rankings. I think you and I and Donnie will rank each prospect by giving them, you know how Siskel and Ebert, what did they do? Give little things of pop, little bags of popcorn, like five popcorn bags was a great movie. So you rate it 1 to 5. We'll do Kenny Pickett hands. Do you like that?
Technically, the morning show copied me because I did the list last night.
Technically, you copied me because I sent you and Donnie the idea before your show.
Technically, your format is a little bit different.
No, it's really not. It's power ranking college quarterbacks based on who the Steelers should draft.
But with a different criteria of picket hands. Mine is just flat out who they should go get.
That's not the criteria. That's just the rating system limit.
Okay.
Limits. I'm sorry.
I'm Claire Fallon.
And I'm Emma Gray.
We are friends and reality dating show fans, and the only thing we love as much as love stories is lovingly snarking on them.
Whether you love love or love to hate it, listen to Love to See It, our podcast dissecting all the romance we see on screen.
From reality dating shows like The Bachelor and Love is Blind to classic rom-coms like You've Got Mail, we recap in obsessive detail and unpack all the weird messages they send us about love, sex, and dating.
Listen to Love to See It on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Limits, our first rendition of Let's Measure the Quarterbacks, and let's measure them based on Kenny Pickett's tiny hands. 1 to 5, you get one hand if you're, you're probably not going to get one hand, right? But it's up to 5 on the 3 quarterbacks right now who lead for you as far as the ones you want to be the Steelers' next guy coming out of the college football weekend. Who do you got? Does anybody get 5 picket hands?
Oh, I thought we were going to start from backwards to go to the top, but...
You may have thought that, but clearly it's different.
I did. There are 2 quarterbacks that receive 5 picket hands right now. 2.
Okay, who?
Drew Aller and Garrett Nussmeier.
All right. And who's 3?
Arch Manning. I'm not giving up on him, despite one bad game at Ohio State.
He only gets 1 tiny picket hand for that game, right?
Yeah.
But I'm actually with you, except for Aller. Right now, I have Arch Manning still 1. How do you like that, Limits? You like that or no?
I do. You're not backing down, Joe. I like that a lot.
No. Come on. We have to consider the competition here. Drew Aller played against Nevada. The other guy went into Columbus. We all have seen what happens to Drew Aller when he goes into Columbus, have we not?
It's not good.
No, it's not good, Limits. It's not good at all. So I'm going to go with Arch Manning 1. Garrett Nussmeier, I thought, was outstanding in that game. Didn't you?
I really did. And, you know, he can move a little bit. He's very accurate. Obviously, I'm not standing out there on the sideline, but the way he throws the ball and watching it, he just seems like one of those guys that people say the ball just whips past him, and you could just hear the ball fly past you. That's my takeaway from Nussmeier.
And I'm going to tell you number 3 in a moment for me. 50-minute mark on the Fan brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19, Peters Township. What's Cooking brought to you by your local GEICO rep, Tim Hester.
Thank you, Mr. Hester.
Very kindly. And cloudy today and a high of 77, a high of Paul Coffey. Great weather for Bob DeGolf. Fan weather is brought to you by Myers Lager, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. Fan hotline brought to you by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Number 3 on my list, and he gets 4 picket hands, is Josh Hoover from TCU. Nick Saban, really high on this kid. He was great. And he's 6'2", 200 pounds. I'm keeping a very close eye on him, Limits. Those are my 3 picks. Arch Manning, Nussmeier, and Josh Hoover. And I'll acknowledge, of course, that Arch Manning was horrible in that game. But that doesn't mean if I had the first pick, if I was the Steelers and I had my pick of the litter right now, if the draft was today, they suddenly declared this draft day, I'm taking Arch Manning. Who are you taking? You already said so.
I'm taking Drew Aller. And then I would take Garrett Nussmeier if Aller is off the board.
Okay.
I have to see more from Hoover other than just one game where they blow out North Carolina. We don't know how good Carolina even is.
Well, they're probably pretty bad, aren't they? They're probably pretty bad. But man, did I enjoy seeing Belichick go down in flames. Oh, wow, was that fun. Didn't you?
Yes. Yes, I did. Because when I was on last night, it just seemed like they were scoring and scoring and scoring every time I looked over. And, you know, Belichick, a guy that has dominated the NFL for so long, he goes to college. Different world, buddy. You're getting beat up on TCU. You haven't even played Clemson yet. You haven't played like a real threat to go to the playoff.
Who do you think's going to win the Protector of the Year in the NFL? Limits?
Creed Humphrey. Can centers win?
I don't know. I was going through my preseason awards today, and then I noticed they've come up with Protector of the Year.
Oh.
Are you glad they did?
Yes. For Deion Dawkins' sake. He created it.
Do you think he could win it?
Yes. Yes, he could.
What about Troy Fatanu?
No track record yet.
No.
No. Jason Peters could win it. Is he still playing? Lane Johnson?
Yeah. If they're not playing, that's probably a sign that they can't win it.
Correct.
What's the game of the week? If you could go to any game in the NFL and I gave you tickets limits, what game would you go
to? Where are my tickets at?
Wrong. Anywhere you want them to be, in any stadium. How is that a relevant question?
I was just asking where the seats are. It's Buffalo and it's Baltimore by far in Buffalo.
By far?
By far.
He says. All right.
There's a lot of intriguing games like Lions, Packers, Houston, the Rams. I mean, the Steeler game is very intriguing, but nothing better than Ravens, Bills.
I would agree with that because I think you have two of the five most spectacular showmen in the game going head to head. And look at the last time they played. It was a wildly entertaining playoff game. Who are the five greatest showmen in the game? I think it's Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Saquon Barkley, and then who?
Mahomes.
Justin Jefferson, I think. Mahomes as a showman? Really?
Yeah, I mean, look at all the... He's throwing the ball left-handed. He just escaped crazy pockets. They've done wheel route plays. They've done ring around the rosy before the snap.
I guess I don't think of him as a runner, but he is somewhat of a showman.
Yeah.
Guess who I picked in the Post-Gazette preview, which comes out, I guess Thursday.
Wrong. The Green Bay Packers.
As my NFL MVP this year.
Oh.
Take a guess.
Wrong. Jaden Daniels.
Wrong.
Najee Harris.
Wrong. Najee Harris.
Najee Harris? Did you pick him?
Bo Nix. You like it?
Yeah, that's not surprising. You love Bo Nix.
I love
Bo Nix.
You are
infatuated with Bo Nix.
Infatuated, yes.
If you could marry Bo Nix, you would marry Bo Nix.
I don't know that'd go that far limits. Who's your MVP?
That's a wonderful question. I'm going to go outside the box and say that, well, maybe it's not outside the box. Saquon Barkley finally breaks the trend of quarterbacks. And he wins.
Saquon Barkley had 2,100 yards last year and didn't win MVP. What's he going to get, 3,000 this year?
He's not winning the MVP. 2,100 was the mark to break the record. He had
something like 2,100, whatever he had limits. He had 2,000 yards.
He's going to break the record this year and win it.
All right.
Because the Eagles are that dominant.
Fair enough. And you have a good night. We'll be back tomorrow with Bob.
Yes. Bob will be here.
As far as we know.
As far as we know.
Good night, limits.
Good night.
I'm Claire Fallon.
And I'm Emma Gray.
We are friends and reality dating show fans, and the only thing we love as much as love stories is lovingly snarking on them.
Whether you love love or love to hate it, listen to Love to See It, our podcast dissecting all the romance we see on screen.
From reality dating shows like The Bachelor and Love is Blind to classic rom-coms like You've Got Mail, we recap in obsessive detail and unpack all the weird messages they send us about love, sex, and dating.
Listen to Love to See It on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.